The John Schneider Show on Wyman and Bob every Thursday until draft day with Seahawks President of Football Operations, John Schneider.
All right, we had to make it official. He's with us on the Emerald Queen Casino Sportsbook Hotline. He is the GM, John Schneider. How are you, man?
Hey, guys, how we doing?
We're doing great. More importantly, how are you doing? How's everything out there?
Everything is good. I almost forgot. I literally was reminded, hey, you got to call in. So I'm glad it happened.
I guess you have other things on your mind. Is that right?
It's all good. We literally just got out of a meeting here that we're talking about some history we have with this agency. So it was pretty cool.
So what take us through the process there. When you show up, what's the game plan? Do you guys have a checklist? All right, we got to do this. We got to go here. We got to talk to these people. We got to start looking at film. We got to set up our interview questions. What's the process once you guys land?
Oh, several different facets to it. You know, there's we have a group that's, you know, meeting with all, you know, our agents, like, you know, for our own eight, you know, all the guys that are unrestricted, meeting with other teams. The first 2 days I'm here is like a lot of NFL stuff, you know, competition committee stuff, general manager. We have a general manager committee, the CEC working group. I'm on that with, you know, John Lynch. You know, you guys know John, a couple guys that are GMs. We're on that one as well. So the first 2 days, there's a lot of league stuff going on. And then, meeting with agents. You know, we have a lot of the college guys doing the formal interviews. And then we have informal interviews as well. So the interviews that are in the room, you know, we film those interviews. So the area scouts do a great job of setting up, you know, the priority of questions that we want to get answered, you know, based on what we know about the player so far. And, and then, you know, the workouts just started this afternoon. So now we're getting into the portion where it's like, okay, you know, I'm still meeting with other clubs, you know, talking about possible trades, that sort of thing, as well as several guys on our staff. And then, spending time, actually watching the workouts here.
Yeah, I was going to say, what percentage of time are you spending doing that? Because it sounds like more than anything, you're talking to people, you're talking about, trades and, you know, to the agents and things like that. I mean, what percentage of time do you spend actually watching the workouts?
Well, luckily, Dave, they're towards the end of the week here. So now, you know, we're getting, you know, we're through like the majority of our agent visits and meetings. So now we'll be able to focus more on really starting tomorrow, getting over to the dome and, you know, being able to, we have a bunch of guys over there right now, obviously. It's just, you know, myself meeting with specific agencies. And so just, you know, really tomorrow getting over there and be able to spend quality time studying the workouts. And again, when you're over there, you're talking to a number of different clubs because, you know, all the suites are kind of like in line right next to each other. So we go, you know, from suite to suite, stealing each other's food and stuff. So yeah, it's fun.
Plus you're out there doing TV interviews and things, I see, right?
Well, that day, yeah, that was Tuesday. That was a gauntlet. Yeah. Yeah. So we got through that.
Yeah. Now I feel like you're, you know, obviously with the change and you're the man now, the sole focus here, at least for this season, is this media crush decidedly different than it's been in the past? I mean, the requests and the number of opportunities to speak on the Seahawks, has that grown exponentially?
No, not really. It's just, you know, it's our true partnership, Mike and I, and you know, coming down here with you know, that the media stuff that I did, you know, Mike stayed back with his staff now and getting stuff in place. So, you know, he didn't, you know, thankfully he didn't have to have the media barrage that goes on those first 2 days. But they're back in Seattle, you know, working offense, defense, special teams. All those guys are kind of getting to know each other and you know, getting their systems in place. So it's just not just Mike not being down here. There's actually a number of head coaches that are not showing up anymore and coaching staff, because I think everybody does a really good job of, you know, again, we've talked about this in the past, you know, all the stuff we learned during COVID. So all the Zoom calls and all the, you know, all the information you can get on, you know, on video with the coaching staff to get them caught up at a little bit of later date.
Hey, John, as far as you're trying to find out these guys' character, I got to imagine that ranks really high. You know, when you're doing these interviews, what are some of the things that you're looking for as far as answers out of these guys? I mean, I think you want to know, do they really, really love football, right? I mean, that's probably number one. But, you know, what are some of those things that you're trying to reveal from these players, and what kind of questions are revealing these players?
Yeah, I mean, great question, Dave. I mean, it depends on the player. What we've learned, you know, through the fall and then through the All-Star process, and then the players that we haven't been able to, you know, spend individual time with. So, you know, like I said, the area scouts do a really good job of setting up, you know, specific questions that we want to get answered to figure out what our next questions are going to be in the process the next time we're able to spend time with them. And so, yeah, it's really obviously, you know, the obvious ones are, you know, do you love ball? What does it mean to you? You know, what would you do if you didn't have, you know what I mean? What would you do if you didn't have football in your life? And, you know, what about, you know, your support system, and, you know, who's going to come with you, you know, and help you make that transition to Seattle? And, you know, how do you learn? You know, what, show us some football knowledge here. And so, yeah, there's just a lot of different questions. You know, the character part, you know, some guys, you know, I'm sure this wasn't you, Dave, coming out, but, you know, you had zero character issues. So, you know, probably wasn't a lot of interviews, probably a slam dunk for you.
No, those came up later in his career, John, as far as you brought up, you know, obviously Coach McDonald is not there, but he's not alone. Kyle Shanahan's not there. McVay's not there. McCarthy's not. I mean, there's a number of coaches that aren't there. Is this? Do you see this being kind of a shift in the way this will be approached moving forward, or is this kind of an anomaly this year? What do you think?
No, I do. I think it's, you know, the week is so long and it's spread out now. There's a lot to do down here. So, you know, unless teams' staffs are here, you know, like Chicago, you can drive down, you know, a pretty easy trip from Chicago and have your staff here, and in the downtime, maybe meet in the ballroom, get together, you know, work on some, you know, installing your systems and everything and getting your programs in place. But yeah, I think, you know, people are really, you know, again, just relying more on the personnel side of it and, you know, gaining as much information as we can from the week, and then kind of regrouping with the coaching staffs and you know, getting aligned and caught up and what the landscape's going to look like, you know, throughout the off season.
Hey, John, we were talking about a guy like Mike Mamula. You probably remember him. He was kind of like a
Boston College,
a workout warrior, and, you know, he got maybe drafted a little bit higher. I was telling the story, John. There was a guy named Rick Graff, who was a Wisconsin linebacker, and he ran like a really good 40, and he ended up getting drafted in the second round. And he was even saying, you know, he was talking to all of his linebackers. He's like, "Yeah, man, I didn't think I was going to go this high. They're telling me I'm going to be, you know, much higher because of the 40 I ran," and, you know, and I guess teams used to fall for that, but that's pretty, I mean, I guess you can get somewhat enamored with a player, but I mean, it's gotta be fairly low on the list, right? As far as what you're looking at.
What it really does is it tells you about the work ethic and the character of the individual. Like, you know, if the guy comes in here and he's not in shape and, you know, doesn't have a good workout, I mean, that tells you something, right? And then obviously the guys that you expect to run well or shuttle well or catch the ball well, throw the ball, whatever. I mean, those are really, like, you know, the standards that you're looking for. And did they uphold their own standards and what our standards will be? So, like, the workout warrior stuff for us is really more of a, you know, kind of a stamp of approval. Like, you know, hey, the guy, yeah, we expected that guy to work out like that. And, or we better go back and study more film, you know, and try to figure out, you know, did we miss something? If the guy, you know, say the guy doesn't play like a 4-4 player on the field, and he comes down here, runs well, and then, okay, let's go back and look at the film and see what we're missing.
How often do you ever, if ever, do you have your mind changed by what you see there? Like, do you go in, say you're looking at it, I'm just throwing out a position, a linebacker, you got your eye on this linebacker, and then you see him work out, and maybe he doesn't dazzle, and you turn away from that player at some point. Has that ever happened where you were sort of set on somebody, you saw him at the combine, and either in a good way or a bad way, they changed your mind about them?
Yeah, absolutely. It's a very humbling business. You know, you can go out and, you know, study a player in the fall and then go through the All-Star process and then go through your pre-combine meetings and then, you know, have a, you know, a sense of how you feel about, you know, the player's abilities. And then all of a sudden the guy goes out and, you know, looks really good or can look, you know, not as good as you thought. So you're like, okay, yeah. Let's get back to basics here and let's start the process over and really dive into this player.
Hey, John, how much of a sort of a boost or a premium is it for, you know, I always bring up Bijan Robinson last year. Like he went to the combine and then he had a pro day like the next week. And like, he's just all in, he was going to do everything, you know, and we've talked about guys skipping the Senior Bowl. And I would always say, you know, if I was coaching a kid up who's going into the NFL, just be in for everything, you know, whatever they want you to do, man, you do it and do it eagerly. Is that something that, you know, gives you a little bit of boost? I mean, that's kind of one of those things that indicates that the guy really loves football.
Yeah, absolutely. Guys that are going to, I think more than that, they play in the All-Star games is, you know, do they play in their bowl games? I think that's really important as well. Those guys that are, you know, we can watch these interviews and the guy's like, yeah, I wasn't going to not be there for my teammates. But you can't necessarily hold it against the player either that, you know, may have been banged up during the season. And it's like, man, I don't know if I, you know, should gut it out in this game, or, you know, maybe it was, you know, banged up later in the season, and should I play in the Senior Bowl, or should I really go to this All-Star game, or, you know, I don't think. Yes, you always want the guys that are all in, no matter what, but you can't necessarily, you know, it's all an individual basis, and so, you know, Harrison, the wide receiver from Ohio State, I'm not sure he's even going to work out at his pro day. I guess somebody was telling me today, so. You know, he's comfortable in the product that he's put on film, and he's confident in his abilities, and that's how he's gonna handle the process. Everybody handles their process is totally different, and you know, you have to evaluate each player on an individual basis. We can't just like lump them in these you know, just one big bin.
John, when does the phone start blowing up in terms of a team that's looking to move up to where you are, or maybe thinking you want to trade out of that spot to move down, or just the wheeling and dealing, so to speak, when you start getting a feel for, you know, the level of interest from other teams in moving? Is that already started, or is it closer to draft time? When does that kick in?
Great question. We experienced that last year, you know, picking in the top 10, you know, it's really, you know, that high, you know, where we picked, there was more conversation down here. You know, at the combine about, hey, you know, if you're looking to get out of that spot, we're at da da da, we're at 12, we're at 9, we're at 8, whatever. There's a lot more of those conversations. So, you know, a little bit, you know, picking a little bit later or right in the middle for us this year, there's less of that. That really picks up probably that last week before the last week of preparation, when people are feeling really good about their boards and confident and you know, what certain positions, the depth looks like at certain positions.
Hey, John, I know that you and John Lynch are tight, but as far as the other 31 GMs, you know, what do you know pretty much everybody pretty intimately, or is it like some guys you know, and if you're at the combine, there's a new guy or whatever, do you make a point to go over and sort of build relationships and things like that with the other GMs?
Yeah, exactly. That's a really good point. You know, there's certain guys that I just don't know very well. And I'm not going to mention my age, but, you know, I was talking to somebody yesterday. We were like, yeah, I mean, wow, that seems like yesterday we were all working for the Packers down here. But, you know, it's the combine's changed and the game keeps moving. And, you know, there's guys that are, you know, young 30s, mid 30s that, you know, that I need to just get to know better. And so that's just, you know, like either walking into their suite or, you know, when people are working out or grabbing a cup of coffee with them or, you know, having a beer late at night or something after the interviews and all that. So just getting to know people and continue our relationships. But I have to say our staff does a great, great job of, you know, our on the pro side and the college side of working all their relationships. We don't ever want to feel like we don't know what's going on, whether it's, you know, from the draft prep or free agency or trades or anything that's shaken in the NFL. I'm just always really proud of our staff that everybody has their fingers and everything.
You know, every year, John, we hear about, you know, this draft is a great quarterback draft, or it's a great running back draft, or it's a weak one for linebackers, or it's a weak one for this whatever position. What's your assessment of this year's draft? Is there a position group you feel is really deep, and maybe another one that you feel is like it doesn't appear to be that deep?
I've always tried to stay away from that. Just over the years, it's like the temptation of saying this group looks strong, that group doesn't look strong, and then maybe adjusting free agency off of that. I think it's really important for us to make sure we have all the, you know, like the psychological testing, the physical testing, all the medical stuff, medical grades, all that stuff out of the way before you can say, okay, yes, this definitely is a draft that looks strong at offensive line, for instance, just because he has a certain amount of names up there. And numbers at a position, that doesn't mean that, you know, by the time it's all said and done, you might have to move guys down for medical reasons, or, you know, maybe the coaches weren't pleased with, you know, some of the football intelligence or the conversations they've had throughout the process. And so, you know, this draft does have, when you're asking a specific question, or I was asked a specific question the other day about the quarterback position. You know, we've tried to, it's not like we haven't tried to draft quarterbacks. We've just ended up drafting two over the last, whatever, 15 years. But, you know, it's the quarterback position does look like just from a, and it's always a different position because of the medical grades. Those medical grades pretty much stay the same with the quarterbacks. And so this group looks pretty good. I think it's gonna be fun to watch these guys throw the ball down here.
Hey, John, you mentioned the medical stuff a couple of times. You know, I've shared the story that I had a dislocated knee in college, so there were teams that were just not going to draft me no matter what. And, you know, is that – how strict are you guys? Is every team, like, totally different as far as what they'll allow? And I know that there was a guy, Ty J. Spears, last year that a lot of people weren't going to touch because of knees and stuff like that. Are you guys – you got to be pretty strict about that, I would imagine.
Yeah, every team has their own medical standards and their own grades, you know, based and we share some of those grades, you know, based on our relationships with the doctors, with other teams. So every team has, like, you know, their different standards and everything. So you just have to be careful through the process and make sure that you're making the right decisions. Sometimes that happens with a guy like Spears, but you have to remember that the only reason we're here at the Indy Combine is because, you know, the New York Jets drafted Wesley Walker a number of years ago and found out when he got there that he, you know, he was blind in one eye. And so that's why everybody came together, the number of teams, and said, hey, we got to get together and share medical information and, you know, figure out, like, get our hands on these guys and figure out, what our standards are going to be. So, yeah, that's the reason why the combine started.
Hey, John, you brought up the quarterbacks that are there this year. I remember last year you guys were posting all those pictures of, you know, you with every top quarterback. You guys had conversations. You'd post a picture and throw it out there, and it caused everybody to speculate, are the Seahawks going after Anthony Richardson? They going after this guy, that guy? Last year it made sense because you're picking number five. This year you're at 16, yet you're still talking to some of the quarterbacks that are considered top 10, maybe even top five. Is that a just-in-case kind of conversation? Like, all right, for some reason this kid falls to 16, we want to have all our ducks in a row with him? Or what would be the point of talking to somebody expected to go in the top five?
We have to be ready for anything. You know, we don't know, you know, if there a certain trade will go down or if something happens. I mean, you guys have seen players fall in the past, and you've seen teams be able to jump up and, you know, have successful trades moving up into the top 10 to grab guys. And yeah, so you just have to be prepared for everything and not just rule players out like, hey, you know, we're never going to be able to draft that guy. Now there's a couple of players in here. We're kind of like, okay, well, we're probably not going to have a shot at that guy, but we do study him. We do talk to him. We do, you know, get to know him as much as we possibly can without, you know, going over the top with it. But you have to know every player as much as you possibly can and not take any shortcuts.
Hey, John, are players pretty much the same? I mean, I think the biggest difference is, you know, the players coming out of college now have NIL money and, you know, pretty good amount of money, you know, and typically, you know, through the years, I mean, you come out of college, you're broke, you have to get together with two buddies to buy a pizza, and now you have, you know, these kids with millions of dollars, and have you seen some of the, maybe some changes in as far as, like, the personality of your average football player, or have they changed, how much have they changed?
Yeah, it's changed. It definitely has. Right before we got on this call, we were just talking about it, what you're talking about with the agency that's been doing this a long time, and they've noticed it already. You know, they'll have a guy that they're doing NIL stuff with, and then, you know, all of a sudden they just go with a different agency, right, because they got more money, you know, from a different agency. And so they experience, you know, some of the same things that we do. What we found is, you know, you have to be careful. And again, our scouts do a great job of asking those specific questions, you know, at the schools, at the school call, relationships with the coaches. You know, you have to be careful of the guys that, you know, can't handle money or are constantly threatening, you know, to jump into the transfer portal because, you know, they're not happy with their play time or whatever. So these are new areas that we're just getting into the last couple of years here. So, you know, understanding that, studying that, being open-minded to, you know, understanding what that balance is, like, okay, what's the family situation? What's this guy's, but what's his mindset, you know, when, you know, he receives a lot of money or he's trying, you know, he's transferred, you know, 16 times or what have you. You just have to be careful and study everybody individually.
John, as always, great stuff. We appreciate you, my friend. Have fun out there. And we look forward to talking to you in person next week.
Yeah, I know. I like it much better in person, by the way. It's just way more personable. It's just, yeah. I like seeing you guys eye to eye. It's nice.
We appreciate do too, it, man. We appreciate it, yeah. Man. Have fun out there.
All right, appreciate you guys. All right, take care of you guys.
Hear Wyman and Bob every afternoon, 2 to 7.